Our guest today, Valerie Smith. Valerie Smith is a songwriter. She's a performer. She has a record label, Bell Buckle Records. She has a radio network, Bell Buckle, of which this program is a part. And happy to be so, Valerie Smith has released a brand new album entitled Renaissance on her Bell Buckle label. 14 cuts. We're going to start the program off with I'm Fine Being Me, which I think is a great choice. Valerie chose these songs. There will be two others in the middle of our conversation. This is a perfect start and a perfect setup to what the Renaissance album is all about. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Let's enjoy this cut. I'm Fine Being Me. Then we're going to talk to, I'll say it, my friend Valerie Smith. You'll enjoy this. Thanks so much for tuning in. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard the first cut off of a brand new album entitled Renaissance. The song you heard was I'm Fine Being Me, and it's from Valerie Smith, who is my guest again today on Unreal Bluegrass. We're going to talk about that new album, and we're just going to talk to Valerie because we like to. Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great.
We good to be back on your show.
Yeah. You know, it was May of 2020, and I remember at the time everybody was. The whole world was like, well, what's going to happen next? Well, as it turns out, we still don't know. We still don't know.
Still don't know, do we?
Yeah. No.
It's still pretty rough out there, I'll tell you. It'll be nice when we know what our new normal is going to be. Let's put it that way.
And I think it'll be a new normal that none of us have figured out, even to you know, I think it's going to come out of nowhere. I think it's going to be very different, and hopefully we can all adjust and for our purposes, keep enjoying music and see people live and get releases from people like you. Yeah, yeah. I always ask an artist, and Valerie, you've been on here often enough, but I always ask an artist to kind of pick a song. We start off with the very first cut on this album. I think it's a great choice because I want you to talk about it a little bit, the song that we just heard, I'm Fine Being Me. To me, it kind of sets up the tone for this entire album, Renaissance. There's 14 cuts on it, and I think it really shows off your... I know how your mind works a little bit, which is not to say a lot, because I'm not trying. But I think you have a very diverse likes. You have very diverse likes in music. It's mostly quality, but you have your musical tastes and your interests spiritually, I'll say, are sort of diverse. And but I think the first song here really gives a good clue as to what's coming on the rest of the album.
Yes, I wrote this. Just I was sitting down in the living room with my guitar, and I was just thinking of how crazy the world is and how we just struggle, you know, in our youth to find some sort of acceptance in the world, you know, and wanting to conquer so much. And when, at the end of the day, you realize that the answer was within you the whole time, and that it's not so bad being who you are when you look at the real positive side of things. And I think that I'm a forever optimist.
Well, I should have said that too. You are absolutely a forever optimist. And so go ahead with that. I wanted to mention your diverse appeal to different music, but yes, Valerie Smith is optimistic.
Well, you know, I've been in the music industry for a long time. I majored in music, was a school teacher, was a performer. I worked in Nashville. I've done it all pretty much. I own a label, and I think that, you know, one day I just decided that, you know, maybe instead of Renaissance I should call this midlife. But I decided that at some point, you know, the quality of your life is very important, and that at some point you have to be fine being who you are and accept who you are and accept who you're not, and be happy with that, and enjoy your life, enjoy the people around you, and your family, and take a breather now.
All of these things are true, but I'm rolling through my head. Brand new from Valerie Smith on Bell Buckle Records, Midlife.
Well, I mean, that would have worked too.
It would have.
Typically, it would, you know, because all these songs on this album, I had to release the album all at once because they all kind of mean something towards what I call Renaissance. And I think that, you know, I think that over the years, I've grown kinder, I hope so. I've grown more humble, which is good. And I've also realized that optimism is my best friend. And you know, and I'm a lot nicer than I ever was. You know, but not that I was ever mean, but
I can't imagine, Valerie, that anyone would ever have described you as mean, but then, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine it.
I mean, us artists, we do tend to make the world just about us. And, you know, I think that for the, you know, the next 30 years of my life, I don't want to be like that, you know. I want to look at the world farther than just myself and you know, what people think of my show or my music. I'd rather people remember me as someone that was more than that and was a good mother and a good person and a good friend and all of that. And I found that to be more important than anything I do these days.
You know, it's funny when listening to this album in advance of today, I even sent you an email and I said, wait a minute, you're one of these things you're talking about your daughter graduating high school, mm-hmm. I think. And I thought, why did I remember when she was a baby? I mean, I remember seeing you in Louisville. I think I'm certain it was an IBMA event when it was still held there. And you had just a little tiny baby, and we were just, everybody was in line to try to find food at that Riverside Cafe there. And it just struck me that, okay, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, these children grow fast. And It's been a huge year, you know, where I have, you know, seen my daughter go off to college and a lot of changes in my life. And of course, during COVID, there was a lot of aha moments, too, about what's really important in life at the end of the day, you know. And I think that I hand chose these songs to reflect a little bit about myself, but hopefully for everyone else, too, to find something about themselves in each song and a humbleness. You know, I think, number one, the COVID and seeing, you know, seeing people die in large numbers, relatives and loved ones, and even seeing friends get in fights, you know, like on social media about politics. And I thought, well, you know, we need to understand what's really important at the end of the day in this world, and that is what we are to each other and how we support each other, and are we doing everything we can to make this a better place together?
I hope that people can have that attitude, because I, you know, it's going to be long and difficult, and it has been already. And as fitting as the first song, I'm Fine Being Me, is an introductory piece. The last song that you choose, number 14, Unchained, is really, I think, specifically intended, from what I get from you and from what you've written about the song, to reflect that thought you just had.
Yeah, in that song, Unchained, it says, you know, oh, Lord, I'm weak, I'm vain, and that holds me down, and take those chains away, make me unchained, don't let that be something that keeps me from being more human, you know, learning not to be so vain, learning to be more in tune with people around me and the things that are important at the end of the day. And Jude Johnstone wrote that song, and
yeah,
that was one of Johnny Cash's favorite songwriters,
yeah,
and I'm really tickled to record it.
It's a great way to end the album, because it kind of ties there. Just as the opening number we just heard, I'm Fine, that kind of the last one, Unchained, kind of brings it back around again, I think. The tune that I was thinking about with your daughter that made me write you back is Heaven is Holding You Now. You write a couple of tunes, or you've recorded a couple of tunes on here, some you have contributions to, but about the distance. The Heaven is Holding You is about a distance it's about to create, but you're also a traveling musician, so some of these things are kind of reflective of your life as an entertainer.
Oh, yes. You know, this song, Heaven is Holding You, really touched my heart. On this particular album, I wrote a few songs, but I mostly reached out to really strong songwriters that I've known over the years that just have these monumental songs that no one's recorded. I thought, that needs to be heard. And so I gave this opportunity to record those songs, because I was writing another project, the Maggie's Journal, that you and I talked about the last time.
Right, right.
Writing 20-something songs for that project. And so, you know, I felt like really I had collected a lot of great songs from top writers And I thought, those need to be recorded. I don't think I can say it better than them.
Yeah.
And Ann Miller is one that I found. She's in North Carolina girl, and she brought me some songs that she had written. And this one just, it touched my soul because my daughter was graduating from college. And I thought, I don't know any parent that doesn't hope their child is safe and doesn't wish that upon them and wish that emotionally they're fine.
And that's in a normal setting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just normal every day. But now we've discussed, and we don't want to just dwell on the fact that there's a virus and a COVID and all sorts of implications of that, but just in the normal setting, but add into that what's happening, and you can definitely tell that there's a separation issue.
You know, but that's a good song. The strings that you hear on a lot of those tunes were from Tim Lorsch.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Who plays, he's a very interesting man. He has a project out called The Suitcase. His family... they were killed in the Holocaust in Germany, and how they would show their empty suitcases and the items that they would take from them.
And their shoes.
Yeah, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Well, they found a suitcase that belonged to his family, all in one piece with all the items still inside, and they mailed it to him here in the States from Germany. And he opened the suitcase, and they were his relatives and family, and it touched his soul so much that he's a professional string player, and he plays all strings. And so he created this whole orchestral piece called The Suitcase that he does live in concert. And so we got him to come in and design the strings on some of these tunes, and Heaven is Holding You is one of those.
Mm. That's beautiful. You have so many great musicians on here. I mean, the bottom of the page just goes on and on and on and on. And we want to give rise and recognition to some of those. We'll never get them all in because you have so many that you've chosen, but they're all quality.
Well, it's like being a tone painter, and you need a lot of paintbrushes to get the texture that you want, because these songs are so diversified that in a way they connect. You know, the trick was connecting them all in one album so that flowed. But also the trick was making sure that I was true to the lyrics and true to the song with the instrumentation.
And all different, not just tempos, all different feels. Like the opening tune, I'm Fine Being Me is to me, in my mind, I don't have many options inside of there to choose from. It's more like a Southwestern flavored
tempo.
Well,
Tom Gray added his little bass line on that. It really gave it the flavor that it needed.
Yeah.
I mean, I laughed so hard when he started on that dun, dun, dun. When you guys hear it, you'll hear dun, dun. That's a seldom seen move right there. And we just all laughed so hard in the studio because we couldn't believe he pulled that out of his toolbox in the studio. And when he did, it was just so country gentleman seldom seen ick, that I just, my jaw just dropped and I got so excited about it.
And Tom Gray is, I would consider Tom Gray as a regular. I see you with Tom. I've seen you many times, and I know Tom's always nearby, and he is a legend. He is an absolute legend.
He's
been
in my band for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
My whole band is together 7 years. I've not had any changes. Now, I should never say that out loud. Right when you say it, that's when something happens, and somebody's got to do something else, or be somewhere else, or...
The cut on here that makes me connect with Tom Gray is The River Whispers, and I also think it's something that's really good for people to listen to if they really kind of want to get... You, to me, are very reflective, and I don't want to beat that to death, but I think The River Whispers, I think a couple things. You know, Tom Gray, having been a cartographer, still is, I think, if he wants to be, has explored every river and every waterway and everything you can do, and I think the... It's The River Whispers is the sixth track. I think that's a perfect song for you, Valerie Smith, to kind of wander and reflect. And it gives you the opportunity to see those things in nature. And I'm sure that Tom Gray allows you the opportunity to do that.
Oh, yes. When I started traveling with him about 7 years ago, I'd say that my spirit was not in the best place. You know, I had been through a lot of health issues. I'd been on the road for over 20 years in a bus, and I wanted off the bus. It was just too physically and mentally stressful after a while. For me, because that's a long time to be on a bus. And you know, I wanted something different. You know, I didn't want this thing where you go to a show, you jump off the bus, you get on stage, you jump back on the bus. I just wanted more in my life. That I still wanted music. And I remember Tom, one of his rules with me when he first joined, he said, "You're going to join the paddling club." And he actually had me go out there and do boating and you know, the canoeing, and he taught me how, and the whole band did. And I realized that things didn't have to be like that, where I just, you know, go up, you know, where things didn't have to be like that, where I go to a show, leave, go, you know.
Get in the bus, right, yeah.
And so I changed the way that I traveled. I started flying out to the East Coast, and I met my band there, and we do our shows. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, let's go for this hike, or let's go boating here. And I truly learned how to balance my life better that way. And I think going down the Potomac, you know, was a healing process for me spiritually and emotionally. And I really needed that. And Tom taught me a valuable lesson about nature.
What an unexpected positive influence. I mean, he's a world famous. He's as world famous as you can get on bass and bluegrass, but then that extra little bit of his personality has kind of given you exposure to that other part. That's fascinating to me, and I think that song is a great one for people to listen to. You mentioned, and we talked about this in May of last year, your great-grandmother's journal, Maggie Brooks's journal. There is a tune on here, and I don't know if this was written. I know you're still working on a collection, but A Dollar Looks Mighty Good. Isn't that part of what that...
Ashley Lewis, a fantastic composer and mandolin player and artist. She also works with the Bluegrass Today folks. You know, I got her on this to co-write because she was just the right person for it. And she's a hard worker. And she just... I admire her... her strength, yet, you know, just a beautiful human being at the same time. And you know, I felt like Maggie, through this journal that I had read about my great-great-grandmother, I felt like, even though I was writing a whole project based on that, I felt like her influence was really strong throughout this Renaissance album, because she taught me so much in that journal about what it meant to be a strong person, what it meant to overcome challenges, and what it meant to really be fine being you, and what it meant to, you know, and it meant so much to her. I related with her a little bit. I won't get into that, but I related with her in a lot of levels. And the thing that I felt so drawn was, she was the first businesswoman, one of the first businesswomen in Missouri, in Plattsburgh, and she was a self-made woman, came from an abusive situation, had to really struggle in this journal, post-Civil War child, you know. But when she first started making money on her own, after she escaped from a dangerous situation with a man that she'd married, she had a baby, and she explained to everybody that there wasn't a lot of opportunities for women in those days.
Yeah.
They could be like an operator, a phone operator. But she was able, she got a job washing clothes and watching other people's children. And she said, "I didn't make a lot of money," but she goes, "Boy, it was mine and all mine, and a dollar looks mighty good."
Yeah, I love that title. I love that title too. Yeah.
I thought, yeah, you know what? You know, money is not the most important things in our life, but it is important for taking care of yourself and have some sort of self confidence in your ability to provide for yourself and provide for your child.
And to Maggie, and it should be, I guess, to everyone, but into Maggie, that represented the fact that she had escaped and succeeded.
It was all about empowerment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always had this love and this drive to empower, even as a person, a music teacher, even as a record label owner. I think one of the best gifts you can give anybody is to empower them and teach them their self-worth and teach them the abilities that they have within themselves to do things if they want it bad enough. That's kind of what I've always lived by in my life, and I've never changed that. I guess maybe that's where you feel the complete optimist, you know, throughout my whole life. But and I think Maggie to me was the ultimate optimist, and she was the ultimate in person that could teach us about ourselves, about empowering ourselves, even in today's time. Her story rings very strong. I can't wait for that story to come out. It's done. It's just it's got to be released correctly in the right way and all that good stuff.
Well, I was going to ask you. I figure that A Dollar Look Mighty Fine might be a peek into that, but I also know we talked in May of last year about that album, and you're telling me now, before I ask you, that it's ready and it's going to be released when the time is right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that one. Hey, listen, I want you to do me a favor. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Valerie Smith. She has a new album, Renaissance, which is FCC friendly. There's a sticker on the front that Valerie put on there. There's 14 songs. We started off the program with I'm Fine Being Me, and I want you now, Valerie, to, and we've talked about several songs in the process, but I want you to introduce, so I can play for the audience, Heartbreak Hill was the second cut on the album.
Heartbreak Hill was so much fun, written by Gary Scruggs, Earl Scruggs' son, and a famous songwriter by the name of Tony Arata, who wrote The Dance for Garth Brooks. And I worked with some of those folks at 4Runner, a publishing company in Nashville. A gentleman by the name of Matt Lindsay was the gentleman that, you know, pitched songs to artists. And at the time, Tim O'Brien was writing there. It was all the great, like David Ball, Garth Brooks, and I had the luck of just being invited in that publishing house to write with some people that were staff writers through a guy named Matt Lindsay. One of the greatest gifts he ever gave me as a person in Nashville. And then he has continued throughout his years to pitch me songs for my projects. And so he pitched me this song written by Gary Scruggs and Tony Arata, and I fell in love with it. I just thought it was the coolest song. And so I went to the studio. Tim Carter, who co-produced with me, I said, I really want to do this song, but how can we work it up, you know, in Val style? And he knew Johnny Cash's bass player, and who lives near him. And we called Dave Rowe in. And Dave Rowe came in, and he did that flat bass that he would have done for Johnny Cash, which definitely gave it its texture and flair, and that was pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun to hear that in my headphones. And he later told me the story about how Johnny Cash, when he hired him, he was a young man, and Johnny Cash said, "So do you play flat bass?" And Dave Rowe really needed the job badly and wanted it. And he said, "No, I don't. If you want me to go home now?" And John said, "Nope, you stay right here." He goes, "Let's see if you can learn how to do it." And, you know, it was from then on a good 20-year relationship.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, that says a lot about Johnny Cash.
It does. It does. Let's, with that great introduction, we're going to now hear Heartbreak Hill from a brand-new album, Renaissance, from my guest today, Valerie Smith. And we'll be right back in just a second. All right, there. For the audience, you just heard the second cut, Heartbreak Hill. And you heard Valerie Smith's nice introduction, the whole relationship with Johnny Cash is another influence. Johnny Cash, it pops up. It was a songwriter. I think that you have another, don't you have another tune on here? We've maybe talked about that already from someone connected with Johnny Cash.
Yeah, well, Jude Johnstone.
Yeah.
That's right. And she wrote On That Train, and that was one of Johnny Cash's favorite writers. And so On That Train had never been recorded before. And once again, Matt Lindsay from 4Runner at the time, he sent me the songs, the little hidden treasures, you know. And Unchained had been recorded by Johnny Cash before.
Okay.
But I just fell in love with her songwriting on this project. I thought, this lady writes the deepest lyrics, and On That Train is certainly a beautiful piece. It's just about, you know, to me, On That Train represents a part of myself or ourselves, whoever, you know, if someone relates to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are times when we reflect on our lives and we think about the train, I guess, we never catched or we never hopped on because of whatever reason, and how that changed the course of our lives. And I think for me, I went through a reflection period, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, maybe I coulda, you know. And I think it's healthy sometimes to don't live in that place where you're always looking back, you know. But I think it's a healthy thing sometimes to reflect upon some of the decisions that you make. So in the future, you can make better decisions that maybe fit your needs more.
And before we leave, before I leave you alone, and before we leave the audience, we're going to play that tune, but on that train that you're discussing. But here's one. Talk about a change of tempo and content. Let's skip down to the 10th cut is The Great I Am.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Well, kind of funky gospel.
Sure. He wrote a song right before his sermon. His name's Mike Lane, and he wrote a song right before his sermon. And that's, and you know, it happened to be that Ann Miller, who's his publisher, played this for me. And I went, I love that song. I go, that is so fun. And Tim Carter, who's just a great producer and engineer, he said, we need to, and I've sung with the McCrary sisters before. And he said, he goes, Valerie, we got to call the McCrary sisters in to do the harmonies on this. And he was correct in that. And it was just so much fun to sing with them again. They're just fantastic ladies. And if you've never heard of the McCrary sisters, you got to look them up. You'll love, especially if you love gospel music. And they certainly are soulful. And that, you know, was a good time in the studio because I kind of studied blues and gospel and soulful music in college. And so it was fun to pull that out of my toolbox and be able to stretch my wings a little bit and do that.
That is the tune we're talking about, The Great I Am. That is not one that you sit down for if you're listening. That's one that you need to get the crowd up moving around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, let's look at, you have a tune on here from Daniel Crabtree, The Big Red. I want to bounce around just a little bit more, then I want to get back to On the Train as we're leaving you. Big Red, let's talk a little bit about Big Red. It actually is based on a real event, a real horse. It's about a horse, but you can, I like that song.
Yeah, you can find this story on YouTube. Big Red, I love bluegrass horse songs. I just do. I like bluegrass songs about horse races. And this one, Daniel Crabtree is such a treasure. He writes songs every day. He sends me songs just from his guitar and phone sometimes. And they're all good. He's like a modern-day Tom T. Hall. He just is so prolific and such a good storyteller with his writing. And this is one that really, really brings that home. I heard this song and I said, oh, you have to let me record that someday. And he did. But it's this true story about Big Red, who won the Triple Crown and nobody thought he was going to win. And boy, he stepped up to the plate and won at the last minute and showed everybody.
Secretariat. I was in law school when that happened.
You can watch the race on YouTube.
Oh, jeez.
You know? So I thought it was a great song.
It is a great song.
I had to add it in there. Didn't anything about Renaissance, but in a way, you know, the horse overcame some things too.
Well, in a lot of this album, talking to Valerie Smith about the Renaissance album, a lot of it is about overcoming. Not all of it, but that's the positive end that always comes out, I think, of what you sing, especially on this album, is that, you know, there are things happen. On That Train is, there's a little bit of melancholy. I listen to that song, we're going to hear in a little bit. And I actually hear sometimes that the right decision is to be on the train in between then and there.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's for the listener when they hear it. I try to leave enough breathing room for the listener to interpret all of these songs how they read them, you know. Like the rock, I found that indie rock song by Amber Run,
mm-hmm.
I found. And, of course, if you hear the original, it doesn't sound anything like my version. But, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what do you mean by I found love where it wasn't supposed to be? And really, that has nothing to do with my romantic life.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It has nothing to do with just finding love in the places that you never expected it, within yourself and even outside of yourself. You know, finding love in the simplistic things every day that you do and who you are and the people around you and I think finding love within yourself sometimes is unexpected too. You know, I think that people, we're hard on ourselves, and we really are. And, you know, I at the end of the day, if I had to offer people anything, it would to be saying, you know, make sure you love yourself and give yourself that gift. It's okay. You can do that. And accept who you are, and don't waste your time, you know, being something that you're not. You know, find out who you are and embrace that.
And this tune I had marked as one of my favorites is we haven't talked about it yet, Dancing with the Stars. Now, Dancing with the Stars is not the TV show, but it to me, that theme is very similar. I connect in my mind, and again, everybody interprets things, and this is just mine. Ignore these, please, if you're listening, but Dancing with the Stars also connects with On That Train, because it's there's separation involved. You know, I won't give away the whole thing because I feel it, but you're somehow, it's like you're under the same moon, you're under the same stars, you're whatever. There may be a separation in time and distance, but you're kind of still sharing that same thing, just like that you would on that train and traveling. That's what I get from it. Doesn't mean that's what it actually stands for.
And you're correct. You know, I always feel that dancing solves a lot of things. I know it's strange to say it that way, but dancing has been a big part of my life. I studied dance in college. My grandmother, Frances, and her sister, they were great buck dancers, really great dancers. They would bring a room alive when they would dance. And I, you know, and on stage, too, I just moved naturally. And I think that if you can get your body moving and moving to the music, and, you know, music is a healthy thing, and dancing, it's good to dance, you know, it's good. Even if you aren't a good dancer, you know, just dance and find somebody to dance with, you know, and be happy.
And if I will say, we're talking to Valerie Smith. It's a new album, Renaissance, that we're getting into, and I'm about ready to let her go because I've taken up. But if you've ever seen Valerie perform, she's always dancing. Now, whether it's a specific dance, but you're always moving and you're always swaying at the microphone, and inevitably there will be some sort of a dance step that you're doing. Whether you know it or not, Valerie, you're dancing on stage when you're singing. I think that you know that.
That's what I've been told. And it's just that the music moves me, my feet move. You know, it's just that's what happens.
That's what I've been told. You know, you. Well, all right. Okay, well, it's true. It's true. Listen, we talked a little bit about On That Train. This is a wonderful album. It has all these elements that we've talked about. There's so many different tempos. There's so many different themes and feelings and explorations, which I think Valerie is so good at in what she explores in her music. It could be swing. It could be, I've heard all kinds of music from Valerie, not just on this album, but there's always a little bit of everything that Valerie's always looking for, good music. And I want you to then, we talked a little bit earlier about On That Train, and I brought it up again just recently, but if you will do the honor of introducing On That Train, then I will let you go at that point, and we'll cross paths again, and we'll wait for the new album that'll be released about your great-grandmother's journal.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the show. I hope
anytime.
I didn't talk and wear your audience.
Oh, no. I want to get back to that song that we've talked so much about, and I think that's a good way to end it. We've talked about Unchained, and, you know, I play different tunes leading up to the part of the interview that we're participating in now, so I'm going to play other tunes in the first hour to get to this part that will be in the second hour, but I want you to now focus your attention again on That Train, introduce that, and then I'll let you go as the audience hears that song.
Okay. Folks, this is Valerie Smith, and you're listening to On That Train, written by Jude Johnstone from my new album, Renaissance.
It's a great album, too.
And my website, too. Can I tell them?
Yeah. Please do. Before we leave, tell them how they're going to find it and everything you can do to connect them.
Well, it's wonderful if you come to my website, thevaleriesmith.com, and buy a digital copy or a hard copy there on my website, or you can go to any streaming, any Apple, you know, whatever, Spotify, and you can download it there and listen to it. So It's out and about now.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful album. It kind of it's perfect for. I wish we didn't have to have a perfect release for a COVID time, as we all call it, but I think it's a perfect time to reflect throughout what's happened in the last year plus, as far as what's going on in society and culture. You've done a real nice job of gathering up a lot of feelings and thoughts and ideas, and for people to think about and be positively influenced by songs that you sing and how you interpret them. And I think you would have done it anyway. It just so happens you did it during a time that we're in a virus, we're in a pandemic, and so I think it's very fitting. So I appreciate your efforts on that.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, and thanks for writing the liner notes for the album. Well, I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you like it.
I love it.
I hope that you liked it. I'm kind of obtuse. I don't know whether the audience can listen to this or not, but we're going to play that last song. But I can't break down music as a musician because I don't have the knowledge. So I just kind of go with feelings, and that's what I thought would be appropriate for something that Valerie Smith.
The album was all about feelings. Yeah. It was not a technical album. It was really about the meat of really where I felt during the pandemic and after, you mm-hmm. know, and the things that were on my mind. And so it was a more feeling, emotional album,
yeah.
I guess.
Okay, well, good. And hopefully this will be in renaissance. Maybe we'll all have a renaissance soon and we'll be clear and people can get back to, as you say, whatever the new normal is going to be. Valerie Smith, I much appreciate your time and your music. And anytime you need to speak with me about anything, you're more than welcome to do it. On that note, let's leave with from the Renaissance album on Bell Buckle, Valerie Smith. This is On That Train. Thanks so much, Valerie. We will catch you somewhere down the line.
Okay, thank you, Steve, and you have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.